Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Yes, welcome back. Triple M NRL live at Castle Hill RSL. Come down and join us at the Sports at 77 Bar. It's happening. It's going off down here. Wendell Saylor, Josh Reynolds. And on the phone now, we all know about the presentation through the week. We had some new members inducted, four players inducted into the Hall of Fame. Now, this guy was one of those guys inducted into the Hall of Fame for rugby league. Now, if there was a Hall of Fame for good blokes, Danny Bedeiris would also be in the Hall of Fame. And Bedsy joins us now. Bedsy, firstly, mate, congratulations. What an honour.
Hey, cheers, boys. It's been a big week, a huge week. So just heading to the Knights game now and hopefully they can get a win. But, a highly memorable week, a really good week to look back and look back with a little bit of detail, I guess, about how you sort of got to this situation. It's been great reconnecting with a lot of teammates and a lot of people back from where I grew up.
Hey, Bedsy, what has it meant to you? Like, I mean, rugby league's been so much a part of your life, and your beautiful wife, Chris, has done a wonderful job with the kids, but just like, even post-football, everything that you're doing, being part of the Origin, at what age and did you think, I want to make this my living, this is my passion?
Yeah, Del, I guess early, mate, was pretty, something in my mind that I wouldn't mind living in the gym and playing a bit of footy. So I was kicked off around 4 or 5 playing footy, and then my brother was a couple of years older. So once I got to about 8 or 9, I sort of loved it. I was passionate about it already. And then I got rusted on by just an easy thing. A couple of Dragons players come up to Tarrell Bar and had a presentation up there, and that looks pretty cool. I wouldn't mind doing that one day. I had some family living Blakehurst down at the Dragons, and I thought one day it'd be great to get in there and trial, which I did. And then the next week I tried at Newcastle and then ended up being a Knight from about 15 years old.
Hey, Bedsy, it's Grubby, mate. How you going?
Hey, Grub.
And congratulations, mate. Awesome achievement. I wanted to ask you, you've obviously achieved so much in the game, and while you were playing, you had so many accolades and so many people looked up to you. Now being inducted, into an illustrious crew like this, how does it feel? Does it feel the same as winning an Origin, or is it a different sort of feeling?
Yeah, and personal accolade like this never sort of sits well. I always wanted to stand at the back and push the team sort of forward in that sense. So, but it has been an amazing week to be a part of the whole. The induction of the whole process and the nominees and everyone that's been involved in it. It's just to say that I'm in an elite group and a group like that. Like when I walked in on Wednesday night, I looked around the room and there wasn't that many people there. It was like a real group of people that have done a lot in the game. And sitting, I'm walking in amongst those guys. It's amazing.
Bezzy, always known as the ultimate competitor, but came through the ranks sort of in and out of different positions and ended up finding a hole there at dummy half and then sort of made it your own. How was that journey for you? Did you get, was it difficult coming through the grades and really not knowing where you belonged and finding that position and then obviously going on to excel at dummy half?
Well, I came down to left home at 15 and yeah, you go, thank your parents for that, for letting me go. And then my big goal was to make the Australian schoolboys. And I made the Aussie schoolboys a bit of a utility, a little bit of a half. And I played centre most of the tour. And then I came back, and obviously the halves situation at Newcastle, locked up, not a bad player in Andrew John. And then I thought I better change direction there, which is good. And then I went on to play hooker because that was just starting to change. That was evolving into a real focus point of the attack on the back of guys that laid the platform of being on the line, Steve Walters. So once I got that in there, I never looked back, and it evolved again. You had to be pretty quick to get out of there and really capitalise on those quick mother balls. So I love playing hooker. It's a great spot.
Mate, I saw some great pictures on Joey's Instagram the other day. There's a picture there with you and Joey at the end, and I'm not sure whether you're just trying to calm him down or whatever, but you're deep in discussion. Tell us what it was like playing with the great Andrew Johns and, obviously off the field. I know there were some good players that you played with, but you and Joe have got a special connection. I know he's got nothing but love for you.
Yeah, a little bit of a weak spot there with Joey. Probably corrected me to go left or right, like I said in my reply. I was either going home or going with him for another 12 hours somewhere. So we had a combination which, I'm just so privileged to be a part of. And raised my standards if I had to pass the ball to him. Over 100 times a game, I guess you could say, and every time I make sure it had to be really good, otherwise I was going to get a rocket. So my stance had to raise pretty quickly, and He sort of knew what I was about pretty early, and what I was seeing around the draft, and I just sort of started to understand what he was about as well. So the combination started to really evolve, and yeah, what an honour to play with the best player ever.
For young players who are at the crossroads at the moment, who don't think they want to play the NRL, they don't think they're going to make it, what's the key ingredient that you reckon that got you into the NRL, into Newcastle, and obviously to that next level? What's the one thing that you'll say to those young footballers, boys or girls out there?
It comes back to character, I guess. And the other thing is, it's, don't get carried away with what it's about. I think if you don't get carried away with the outside influences, I think some of the younger ones can. And at the end of the day, if you can compete to get the best out of what you're about and the respect of your teammates, I don't think you can go wrong. I feel sorry for the guys these days. When we go back to the pub after the game, and it's like you've got the respect of your teammates. The guys that today, they probably feel like they've got to have the respect of the social media world, and that can play a bit of havoc as well. So for us, it was just to go back and enjoy each other's company, and I just love that about Newcastle. Our 2-hour bus trips were highly memorable, win, lose or draw.
Bezzy, what about this afternoon? Your Knights, their season's on the line. They need to win their next four outings, you would imagine, to sneak into that top eight. They come up against the Cowboys. What do you think?
Yeah, it's a huge game. If they win this one, it might even come down to the last round against Penrith to see who gets into the final. And over the years, it's been 28 points, but it might be the cut-off around 26, and Newcastle could slip into that eighth position. But they have to win today. If they don't win today, kiss that goodbye. Because a lot of the teams playing each other, they've got Gold Coast, they've got the West Tigers, and they've got the Cowboys. So they're three teams that they have to win and then bring it home into the Penrith game in the last round.
Are you up there? Are you going to be calling that one?
No, I'm not working, so I'm having a day off. It's great.
What are you doing, Betsy? What's happening? Day off on a Saturday?
How good?
Well, I'm having it. Yeah, it's worked out well. I think a few years in the captain's club. I've been invited up there tonight, so this afternoon. So I'm looking forward to getting in there and just relaxing.
Oh, they reckon that you walked into Fox Studios after you won, were inducted and said, "Hey, I'm a Hall of Famer now. I'll be calling Sundays from now on." No? Congratulations, Betsy.
Hindy was into me saying I was sitting differently on the panel already, so I was like a Hall of Famer.
A thoroughly well-deserved award, mate, and couldn't happen to a better bloke. So well done, Betsy, and thanks for joining us here on Saturday Triple M NRL.
Yeah, appreciate it, boys, and thanks to all the wider rugby league community. It's been sensational. Thank you.
Mate, I'll see you at the Legends of League, mate, up there in Newcastle.
Enjoy that.
Sure will, Bell.
Look forward to schooling you again.
Everywhere. Your face is everywhere out here at McDonald Jones.
Mate. Oh, he's a big deal.
Don't worry, it'll be all over you too when we play, mate.
Enjoy the Captain's Club, Betsy. Well done, mate. And it is rocking. So, guys, we're going to do a little segment here that we call the NRL Stock Market. Have we got an opener for that, Charlie? I can't remember.
Nobody knows if the stock is going to go up.
The Triple M NRL Stock Market.
Well, there it is. That was worth it, wasn't it, Del?
That was great.
This is brought to you by Mongrel Boots. Mongrel Boots are built for you in mind, ultra comfortable, and they get you through the hardest days. So, Josh, you know this works? You've done this before?
I have done it before.
So I'm going to just basically give you a topic that's going on in the NRL, and you're going to buy, sell, or hold, and we don't like too much holding. We like people not to sit on the fence. So we'll start with you though, Wendell.
That'll be great.
Now, through the week, the Tigers have come out and said they will be training up until grand final day, regardless of where they finish in the league. Buy, hold, or sell?
Oh, I'm selling. Look, imagine the coaching staff. Once your team gets knocked out, which will be the last round because you're not making the finals, okay?
Whoa.
I'm serious. I know you're here, Josh. Mate, the last couple of weeks, I know you've tried hard, but it's just not working for you guys. Mate, it's been done before. I think the Dragons have done it. Mate, you got to let that go.
Producer Charlie just throwing Josh Reynolds right under the bus here.
I'm not buying now. I know I'm selling it. That's
selling?
You can't, mate. Once it's over, mate, you let the boys have a break, and if you need to, bring them back a bit earlier if you need to.
Josh, I'm going to sell that too, Wendell. Yeah. I'm going to sell that. I'm not into that. I think we did it 1 year, and the players get bitter, and it's sort of it sends the wrong message, in my opinion. So how about we move on? We give Josh the next one.
Oh, I was going to answer.
You want to answer?
I'm selling as well.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, you're selling. That's great news.
If Madge is listening, sorry, mate.
That's all right.
We'll probably have it on.
Extra incentive though to get yourself to the finals if you need any anyway.
Yeah, well, probably a little bit, but. Yeah, I'm sure there's a bit of something behind it. You know, he's not done it out of, I suppose, spite.
Yeah.
He's got a bit of something behind
it. He's got a plan.
Yeah, Well, listen, we'll see
who's got next couple of legs. Who have you got?
So Newcastle.
Oh, yeah, you're transmitting them.
St. George and Charlotte.
Oh, okay, that's not too bad.
Yeah, you've rode us off pretty quickly.
No, I still have, only because I've seen what you did last
year. That was the game, who'd you drop 2 weeks ago before Manly? That was costly.
Yeah, Bulldogs. Yeah.
Bulldogs.
Doggies
have knocked a fair few teams off.
That was the one. I think that's the one that's going to make the difference at the end of the season. Anyway, here's a bit of a different one for you. We'll start with you, Josh. The NRL giving Cam Smith's wife, Barb, a diamond ring valued at $15,000.
Dell's looking at me.
That's yours, but
Yeah, yours. So if I think I'm going to buy it.
You're going to buy that?
I think it's all right.
Okay.
You know, people get so into, you know, these outside things, and I think Todd Greenberg actually said a nice thing, like people don't realise what goes into it from the woman's perspective as well, and, you know, she's probably been around the game, around the clubs, but then people will say, oh, why doesn't everyone's wife get one, I suppose, that it is Cameron Smith, but I honestly don't look that far into it.
Don't you think it's a little bit of a weird, like, oh, I just found it a little bit awkward.
Oh, it
like
is weird.
Buying a weird diamond ring for someone else's wife, is that a bit awkward?
I think it's awkward, yeah, very, very awkward. And I know he's the first player in our game to play 400 games. I know James Graham's done it, but with Super League games in it. But I think a lot of women, I know women in the league round, I know a lot of women do a lot of things for a lot of us, my mum, my daughter and my wife, but I just think diamond ring, mate, is that money could be going to some stuff at grassroots level or whatever. And
totally agree.
Cameron Smith's had a testimonial, he's had a private dinner, and we've celebrated Cam Smith enough.
Yeah.
And as much as I love Barb Smith, I just don't think that needed to be done.
No, I agree with you, Wendell. And the I next one Barb, is... Yeah, I'd be selling that as well. $20,000 fine for Sean Lane. Is that a fair punishment, boys? Wendell?
Yeah, look, I think in this day and age, I mean, I've been through some stuff. The players know the rules. You know, Sean Lane's playing his best football at the moment. He probably looks back on that and just regrets it. Just, you know, you've just...
20K enough? Buying,
yeah,
selling?
Yeah, I think so. I think 20K is enough, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's plenty, to be honest. And, you know, Sean Lane probably wishes he had that moment again. And, I couldn't imagine waking up to that front page of the paper and seeing that, honestly. But it just comes down to, again, you can't do that stuff. And, yeah, so I agree with the fine. I think it's a good deal. Doesn't miss any games or anything. And usually they you know, they might miss a game if they're putting the game into disrepute. So I think he got off all right.
What about this last one? Johnny Sutton. Is he in the top five South players of all time? MG said that through the week. It's a big call. What do you think, boys? Buying, selling or holding?
Look, I'm holding. I think he's in my top 10. I think what he's done has been... Souths have had some great players over the years, you know, Sattler and, you know, I just think for me...
There's a long list
Yeah, I know. So I think MG's got carried away a little bit. I know he bought them a premiership in 2014. Great captain, great bloke. Very unlucky to miss out on Origin. I think he missed out to you, didn't you? No, but didn't you? You two, you had to have a train off for the position.
Yeah, we had a train off.
I remember that. It was unbelievable.
That was weird.
Yeah, it was weird.
I remember, honestly. That was
Who was coaching when that happened?
Laurie,
yeah. It was honestly the most nerve-wracking training session I've had in my whole life.
Yeah.
It was legit.
And based on what? Based on who was the most effective in a training session?
But it was more or less which style he was going to go with, whether he wanted the utility or another bigger body / back rower.
Yep. Okay.
So that was more the battle, but yeah, it was definitely a weird one for myself. But I'm going to go off. I've played against Sato a lot.
Yep.
And I think it's a fair call. You know, whether it's top five or top 10, but... He's always gave me so much trouble when we played against him. So silky, so skillful, and, you know, he's soused through and through, so good on him and, you know, on a great career.
And I just think, like, you know, back end of his career, he just got tougher. He got smarter too, like made the transition from six to the back row and just everyone...
Has he been named this week? Because
everyone just loves John Sutton.
He was on the bench last week, wasn't he? So it'll be interesting to see whether he's part of their starting lineup. Do you see him as a... As a utility player, look, they've actually gone with Sua and Lowe, and Sutton is actually named on the bench. Do you see him more of an impact player, or do you see him as a guy that needs to stay on and play big minutes?
Yeah, I think he has to start, Gerds, just for myself, to get himself into the game, because the stuff he does, I suppose you've got to have a bit of a touch about it, because he's not an edge back bro that's probably going to punch a line for you. He's one that's going to play a bit of silky ball skills off him, and he probably needs to ease his way into the game, so... I'd probably start with him and bring someone like Sue off the bench, who I think is an impact.
Yeah, it's a strange one, Dill, because, I mean, last year South Sydney left side was dominated by, obviously, Cody Walker and John Sutton.
Yeah.
And I think it was the most potent attacking side any team in the competition was able to put together. So to be moved around this year, he wouldn't be happy, I wouldn't imagine.
No, he wouldn't be, but I think, you know, when Wayne Bennett sort of speaks, mate, you have to listen, so that's just the way it is, yeah. So it's unfortunate, but, you know, Sato's still in that 17, and if they're going to be a chance, he's got to be firing. So whatever position they play him in, whether it's utility or in the back row.
And I think as well, it's probably realised it's going to be his last year, so he probably doesn't mind doing... putting the team first,
yeah,
I suppose.
Selfless, you know what I mean? Yeah,
and he has been the captain. Man. So, yeah.
Well, talking about the Bunnies, we're going to take a break, and after this, we're going to come back talk about that little bit of a melee that's going on at the moment between the Bunnies and the Storm, and some of the packets being used as we all see these sides positioning for their run to the finals. You're listening to Triple M NRL, and we'll be right back after this. Yeah, welcome back. Triple M NRL broadcasting live from Castle Hill RSL. What a venue this is up at the Sports Bar at 77. It's all happening. Wendell, did you just order a pink lemonade?
Yes, I did. Yeah? Yes. Yeah, I like pink lemonade.
Andy's just walked over and said, boys, would you like a drink? And Dell's thrown out, yeah, I'll have a raspberry
lemonade. Yeah, pink lemonade.
Josh, what did you order? You get that... did you get that tequila on the rocks?
Yeah, like
loosen up a little bit before the
for
next
three
hour.
Of us.
Hey boys, there's been a little bit of a fallout after that game between the South Sydney Rabbitohs and the Melbourne Storm last week. We spoke about it before the break. A little bit of positioning going on now as we race into the finals. Shane Richardson has come out and was really vocal about what he thought happened with the Asofa Solomona tackle on Cody Walker that was actually not charged. Well, I'm not sure whether it was charged, but he's certainly not missing any games. Big Asofa Nelson. And then Dave Donaghy, who's the Storm CEO, has come out and basically told Richo to have a cup of tea and lie down and basically called him Wayne Bennett's puppet. I'll start with you, Josh. You're still playing the game. What did you make of Nelson's tackle last week on Cody? And what do you think about the way that Storm generally go about their business?
Well, it's pretty well known that Melbourne are the best in the business at slowing down the ruck and winning that wrestle. They brought it into the game. But, you know, I think that Nelson one was pretty bad, I'm not going to lie, but in the sense of, you know, clubs coming out and saying Melbourne, they have to change, they reckon the game, well, why would they change? It's working for them. You know, like, they're obviously away just thinking, I honestly think they're down there just going, well, we don't really care what the South CEO says. Like, you know, in all due respect, because why are they going to? They're winning games. They're ahead on the table by, what,
six points?
Yeah, that's right.
So why are they going to change it? Of course people are going to have something to say. Like, I suppose it's a bit, you know, if we can't catch them, let's try and bring them undone another way. That's honestly the
way
I look
at it. You think it's just the fact that they do it better than everyone else?
100% it is.
Why do you think, Wendell, that they do it better than everyone else?
Well, because, mate, I think it's attention to detail. If you have a look at who's at their club and what they do, their turnover of players, whoever they bring in, and Craig Bellamy, he sets that standard. So if you got him setting the standard, and you obviously got Cameron Smith, and you guys like Cam Munster, mate, of course it's at attention to detail, and everyone's buying into it. And over the years, mate, at this time of the year, you've got to try and rattle the Storm somehow.
Yep.
So, mate, obviously Wayne Bennett, that game last week, yeah, they did get out-wrestled last week, the Bunnies. If the Bunnies were able to play their style of football, which they weren't because of Melbourne Storm and the wrestle and the tactics they use, they do it better than anyone else. But it's a bit like when Manly played Melbourne Storm and Maxi Kruitz threw the grenade just before that game.
Yep.
It certainly did help. So Wayne Bennett's smart enough to understand that they're going to meet again in the finals and they want, you know, the pressure from the refs and obviously to get a bit of leeway in what they
but
do.
But isn't this great, though, boys? Isn't the toing and froing? I mean, I don't know if anyone takes it that seriously. We also obviously got, you know, Trent Robinson coming out and talking about the Stool and Ricky Stewart saying, well, just because no one else can do it as good as we can. I mean, isn't that all about the game and leading into the finals and generating content?
Yeah, I think it's good. Telling him to have a cup of tea is hilarious.
Yeah, I know.
Good. I think everyone would like that, you know, because sometimes I suppose you think of a CEO as, you know, your boss and you have to, even the players are probably like, that. How good's that? And, you know, what I find funny, you know, everyone, I suppose, has a crack at them, but there would be every team wrestling this, right, like every training, like, you know, once or twice a week to try and catch them.
Honestly, and how much, I mean, in relation to the West Tigers, I mean, how much of a focal point is it on a weekly basis for you guys?
Yeah, Madge is massive on it, mate, because obviously Madge was in Melbourne.
Well, he came through that system.
So he's huge on it, and I know in pre-season, some days we were dead set having wrestle session on the beach, coming off the beach and then going to a dojo and wrestling again. He wasn't telling us what was going on. Yeah. So I know our focus is massive on it and it's a big part of the game.
Yeah, I remember when I first came back from my time out of the game and then all of a sudden, game rugby league went from this open sort of throwing the ball around, and there was tackling, but there was Jeremy Smith and Bo Scott. It was like, you know, the last man standing. It was like you had to wrestle on it, and you'd be going all right, but then the best technical wrestlers, and Jeremy Smith had just come from the Melbourne Storm.
Yeah.
So yeah, Jeremy Smith and Bo Scott, who's, you know, Bo Scott, he's a bit tapped anyway. So those two going at it, and I was just going like, what does the game come to?
It's not going to change. I mean,
it's not going to change.
The fact of the matter is, you know, going into the finals, I think what it does, it red flags it for the officials.
Yes.
So it puts a little bit more focus on it for them. So potentially, you know, there can be a little bit of a reward there for some of the teams come up against the Melbourne Storm. But I think we really get to find out where the Melbourne Storm are this weekend. I mean, last week they played the Rabbitohs, a couple of sort of sides that were a little bit depleted.
Yeah.
And I didn't think that was much of a game, to be honest. I thought it was pretty scrappy and a lot of loose sort of defence. But I think today the game against the Raiders.
Yeah,
that's one where we're going to find out a lot about both of these teams.
So the Roosters set the standard last year in the grand final. How you take Melbourne Storm out of wrestling and so on to play the ball down? You got to go straight through them, mate. They went through them the middle third. They went through them on the edges, and they went through them out wide. They're outside five with Blake Ferguson. They were phenomenal.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden, like Melbourne Storm, they just got outplayed, and you just go, mate, what's happening here? They didn't get a chance. Cameron Smith, I think, made 55 tackles. They didn't get a chance to wrestle. And it's going to be the same as she. If you're going to beat Melbourne Storm, you've got to go through them. And, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing with Canberra Raiders too. They do the best one-on-one steals. They do it better than anyone too.
Yeah.
So we've heard a bit about their one-on-one steals, and I don't mind that.
And I think the only team that can probably do that to the Storm is the Roosters. Honestly, think even you watch, and I agree with you, but you try and go through the middle of the Storm and you've got the likes of Jesse Bromwich, like the Bromwich brothers, and they're probably the best wrestlers. So it's hard. But when the Roosters have those players that can get you out wide, and, you know, Tedesco and Latrell,
yeah.
But I find, any other team, Melbourne will be the team beat.
The Bulldogs did it early on in the season.
Yeah, they did.
They played with a lot of width.
Yeah.
And they got the Melbourne Storm, and the Melbourne Storm ended up winning. Getting themselves back into the contest and grinding out. But the Bulldogs had them shot there, and I think you're exactly right. I think you've got to play them on the edges. Some of the edge defence from the Melbourne Storm, and I know Olam got injured and they had some back rows. I think Stimson was playing sort of out wide. But some of the decision-making of Vunivalu under pressure, he got exposed, I thought, last week. And I think there'll be a few clubs sort of, you know, not just thinking about, you know, playing Melbourne Storm through the middle, but taking them on the edge and getting their edge defenders to make them some decisions, and I think that might cause a little bit of trouble.
Well, if you go back to the grand final, the first try was scored from Luke Keary throwing the big pass to Daniel Tupou, where, once again, Vunivalu got caught in no-man's land.
Yep.
He always gets caught in no-man's land. He's 50-50. He either shoots in or he stays out. So same sort of thing. You've got to apply that pressure.
And that's the thing, I think, with the style of Melbourne defence. So we probably had not as aggressive but the similar defence at the Bulldogs with Dez. So it was all up and in, and it's pretty much, if you're willing and you want to have a crack, you can go over the top like Luke Keary did in the grand final, or you're waiting for a poor read. But because I feel Melbourne, like they just out-wrestle teams, and they don't have to make many pressure situations, but you put anyone in a pressure situation, eventually they're going to come up with a bad read. So
you do it enough times.
Mm.
What do you think? Obviously, you've spent some time under Desi. Are you surprised, given the roster that he took over at Manly, that they're having the season that they are?
To be honest, Gers, not at all. I think I'm surprised in a couple of the wins they had early, because they had, I think it was no Cherry Evans, no Trbojevic, no Appy Korosau, and they were still winning games.
That's right.
And that's where I think Dez gets the best out of people. It's everyone in the club knowing that you've got to be ready to go, because when you get up there, I'm not going to give you any leeway. I don't care how many Canterbury Cup games you played or what. You've got to give me the exact same skill and as, say, Dylan Walker's out. You've got to fill that role. And now they're slowly, you know, you got the Trbojevic brothers. Honestly, they're so hard to stop. I've seen it Thursday night. Yeah. Tommy Trbojevic, how do you stop him?
Yeah.
You know how guys sort of, so it puts a kick up, right?
Yeah.
And this escorting thing's a big thing at the moment. He gets escorted off the ball but keeps going. And
he finds a
way, and it's just so hard to stop.
Tell me this. So what was on, back to this, what was, we were talking about on Thursday night, MG and I, mate, you kept kicking to Tommy. What was the game plan there? I think, you know, you kept kicking to him and he just kept taking those easy meters. What was your tip sheet say?
Yeah, I definitely, you know, a couple of the kicks the boys probably would have wanted to have again, because you don't want to kick it straight to him, you know, and if you do, you want to probably roll it on the floor. But I think, I know what you mean. There was a couple, the one or two, I think when Brooksy, because he actually hits him so high, and then sometimes I think one or two might have come off the side of the boot straight to him, but yeah, it's definitely something that you don't want to be doing on the regular.
Yeah, well, we're going to take a break, boys. Great chat. Luke Brooks in great form, having another great season. We're going to come back after this break with Reedy's Mail. Brent Reed, one of the most respected journalists in the game, Wendell, and a really good friend of yours.
Did he tell you to say that?
No.
Oh, okay. No, he is. He's doing some great stuff, Reedy.
Yeah, we'll be right back after this. If you love sport, you'll love Sports at 77. Visit castlehillrsl.com.au, Wendell.
Oh, no. Well, not just about the sports bar, but this gets better and better for me just coming to Castle Hill RSL.
What's happened?
Well, I just found out, one of the beautiful girls over there told me that...
Andy?
Yes. She said they've got a golf club as well that's part of this.
They have a golf club? Where's the golf club?
Linwood Country Club.
Okay. So you know that... played there?
No, I haven't, but... Okay. She's going to organise a game for me.
Fantastic.
So it just gets better and better. I'm a fan.
Of course you are.
Talking about fans, Wendell, we've got this guy on the line. Read about it. Reedy's Mail. Brent Reed, probably never been this far west in his whole life. Can't get him off the northern beaches there. Although, no, you did go to, over there for the junket, the Origin, for about 2 weeks.
That's true.
Good reading.
Can't Wendell find a freebie?
Blimey. Well, he just got another ambassadorship. Is that the word? Is that a word?
I don't know. Ambassador role.
Well, how do you? What's that word, Reedy? You're the journalist here.
Ambassadorial position or something?
Oh yeah,
that's almost maroon-like the way he's got that freebie.
yeah, that's true. He's taught me well. You're right.
Lots going on in the game though at the moment, Reedy, and some possibly big news for the Walters family.
Yeah, it looks like it could be a big week for the Walters family, Gerds. I don't know if you remember a couple of weeks ago, the Queensland Rugby League was talking about extending his contract, and when that was happening, the Queensland Rugby League chairman, Bruce Hatcher, actually went overseas, so it didn't progress very far. But Bruce is now back. He got back on Sunday. I spoke to him yesterday, and he plans to step up those talks potentially this week. So I hope they can extend Kevy pretty quickly and get a deal done for Kevy. And then there's his son Billy, who's obviously played a couple of games for Melbourne this year. There's a bit of a whisper going around that maybe he might join the Tigers next year, and that could get announced this week or next
week.
Who's
that in replace of Brady?
Is that another 5'8"?
He plays 5'8", really? He's a 5'8 half, isn't he?
Well, apparently he can play a variety of positions.
Ah, okay.
But, you know, we've seen him this year. He's handling himself pretty well when he's playing for the Storm. And obviously the Storm have got a million players down there, and I guess he's looking for a fresh start somewhere. And the West Tigers look as though they might land Billy Walters. So,
and also,
I don't think it's a six, though.
Yeah, Madge has had a good relationship with Kevy over the years too, so...
Yeah, well, they go way back, don't they?
Storm, yeah, and that's, yeah, yeah.
Didn't you have some
Storm? Yeah.
Didn't you have some breaking mail on Josh Reynolds, Reedy? Are you still going to go through with that?
Yeah, what's that?
He's already announced it, he's playing. He's been pulled out of that Canterbury Cup game tomorrow.
No, but the real news.
What was the real news?
Come on, mate, give us a...
Please elaborate.
I heard you're the best. I've heard you got the best spills.
Oh, he saves it all for the paper.
Yeah, no, he saves it for that one. No,
too expensive, though. It's like $3.50 or something for a newspaper.
Only on the weekend, yes. Or he's too much during the week. They've got to pay my wages somehow.
Yeah, or the Sunday footy show he saves it for. When they do the little journalists call.
Hey, what about the Eels, Reedy? Out there in the Western Sydney doing pretty well at the moment. There might be some new deals on the table for Jennings and Takarangi.
Yeah, look, the Jennings one's been floating around for a while. Now, they're haggling a bit over the length of the deal. I think Parramatta initially only offered him a year, but it looks like he'll get the 2 years he wants at Parramatta. So, Jenko's had a pretty good year there, hasn't he? He's looked pretty good back to his old self, and he's obviously convinced him to give him a couple of years. And Takarangi's another guy who's off contract at the end of this year, and it looks like he will sign a new deal there as well. So, a couple of big signings for Parramatta as they head towards the finals.
Yeah, a couple of experienced guys there that'll come in real handy. Reedy, what do you make of all the... all this banter between, you know, the Storm and the Rabbitohs and obviously the Raiders getting involved. Is it just the time of year, or do you think there's something more to it?
Well, I think it's more the time of year. I mean, there's always been something to it, hasn't there? The fact that the Storm used the wrestle, there's no doubt about that. But, you know, every club does it, Gerds, don't they? I mean, you know, Josh is there, and Madge has been a guy use the wrestle as well. It comes out of the Melbourne system, and his wrestling sessions are notorious for how physical they are, from what I understand. So, you know, obviously Melbourne are very good at it, and that's why everyone's targeting them at the moment because they're the best at it. They've only lost three games all year, but it's not a new issue, is it? I mean, 16 years old, this issue, because I was at the press conference when it first exploded in Canberra, and that was, I think, 2006 or 2003. I can't remember. It was one of the two. But, you know, it's, the NRL's got to have an appetite. If they want to get rid of it, they've got to have an appetite to get rid of it, and the appetite's not there at the moment.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see too much come out of Ricky Stewart this week leading into the game. They're pretty tight, aren't they, him and Bellyache? So, but that's going to be a... they go out for dinner, don't they, on a Friday night?
They have a coffee the night before the game,
Yeah. So that would have been interesting. Rudy, but you're going to stick around, mate. We're going to take a break. You're going to stick around. And after the break, you're going to come back and tell us a little bit more about this transfer window and maybe make some sense of that, because it's been a little bit confusing so far this week. So stick around. Saturday, Triple M, NRL. We'll be right back after this. Yes, welcome back. Triple M NRL broadcasting live from Castle Hill RSL. If you love your sport, you'll love sports at 77. Visit castlehillrsl.com.au. Boys, I'm joined by Wendell Saylor. What's up, Wendell?
Nothing's up, mate. Yeah.
Josh Reynolds and Brent Reed. Reedy, there was a fair bit of talk through the week about a potential transfer window. Not sure whether they were thinking next year or in the coming seasons. It's a fair bit of confusion around who's eligible and how that will roll out. Have you got any more information just to clarify some of the detail around that?
Yeah, look, it won't be next year, Gerd, because they've obviously got to get it through the players as well. They've got to talk with the players' union about it, try and get it over the line. But basically how it would work is they would have a window in the middle of the year around the third State of Origin game, maybe a week either side of that, where you could sign with another club for next year, for the following year, and then they would have a window at the end of the year, which would run from basically the day after the grand final to the day before the opening game of the season, and that would be for immediate moves. So what it would do, it would prevent the situation where a guy like St. Angus Crichton signs for a club 12 months before his contract's up and then play the year with his current club. So you would only be able to sign a deal with a rival club basically the last 6 months of your deal.
So who's eligible for that then? So say you've got a situation like with Josh Reynolds here. So if the club and the player are happy to go into the window, even though he's got a contract with maybe another two-year term, that can happen as well, given that both parties are in agreement?
Yeah. Well, that's an interesting one, dude. I don't know how they would handle it. I would think if it was in a situation where a club wanted Josh straight away, then they do a trade in that window. That could definitely happen. But
so a trade more so, yeah, okay.
I think they'd be more so a trade. And maybe if they want to talk about a permanent move, when, say, a guy like Josh has got a couple of years left in his deal, given he'd have the club's permission to do that, I would have thought, again, you could probably move straight away, potentially at the end of the year. But it's more about those ones where guys spend a year playing with a club even though they're signed elsewhere. That's what they want to stop.
And how does that work, Reedy? Do both parties have to be accepting to join the window? Or can a club just put someone up? Or, like, position, right? Say I say, I don't want to be in the transfer window. What happens there?
Well, I don't think they could do anything, because if you say you don't want to move, you're on a contract, there's nothing they can do.
But it's for players like Josh who are looking for other opportunity. Maybe it's some young guys that have had a little bit of time in first grade in the early parts, and they've been covering for injuries, and then other clubs see how useful they can be in the NRL, and then therefore would go sort of fishing for them in that mid-season window. That would be, I guess, one of the objectives, Reedy.
I think that would be one thing they'd look at. Look, what they want to do is they want to make it a bit like the NFL, where they have, almost a draft period, right? Where they sell it, it's on TV, and it's sponsored, and people watch it. I think their long-range dream is that they can sell this week in the middle of the season and say, this is trade week, where potentially you could have teams and officials sitting in a room and trading players.
Yeah, you know, look, I think, Reedy, if you compare it to obviously the European and the football transfer window that goes on, well, it just finished, actually. I think it finished, the English one finished on the 8th of August. I mean, if you're a fan of that sport and that code, you are glued to that window for the last couple of weeks. And the last couple of days, I mean, it's relentless with the amounts of trades, who's coming to your club, who's potentially leaving your club. So the amount of interest that it would generate for the game, I think, would be an absolute positive thing.
Well, that's the way they see it, Gerd. They want to be able to, as I said, I think the word they used was monetize it this week. So they want to be able to make it something that's a saleable product that people want to sponsor and televise. And, you know, at the moment, it's a bit of a pipe dream, right? Because they've got to get it through the players' union and they've got to get the players to agree to it. And then you've got to set it up in a way that makes that interesting. But, you know, can you imagine if they had a week where, in the middle of the season, where every club's recruitment managers or CEOs sat in a room or came together for 2 or 3 days and just, you know, traded players, basically, almost put blokes up there. Joshie Reynolds said, look, say he went to the Gold Coast, said, we'll swap your Josh Reynolds for Ash Taylor.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, how much interest would that create? It'd be unbelievable. Yeah.
Would you go to the Gold Coast?
Is that the scoop?
Would you go to the Gold Coast, Josh?
What in the transfer window? it's actually cool, though. It brings plenty of excitement.
Yes.
I don't know if you... Have you seen the movie Draft Day?
No.
No.
If you actually watch that movie, it's actually so exciting because, you know...
I've watched Moneyball.
You don't sort of know what's going on. And as fans, they sit there and they watch it out of excitement because who knows what's going to happen.
The interesting part would be that obviously over in those US sports and in the English and the European soccer leagues, they don't have salary caps.
Mm. Yes.
And everyone's for sale potentially. You can go into a window and if you're cashed up, I mean, you can get the best player that still might have a three-year term with his current club. So how they put parameters around making those deals and making that interesting when you've got a salary cap, it might be, as Rudy said, more like a trade window more so than transfer window.
Yeah, but even in the baseball, you know, we've seen those movies where, like, one day they're playing, you know, for Atlanta, and the next day they get told that mate, you're heading off to, you know, LA the next day. So, Rudy, I've got to ask, mate, why is the Players Association against it? Because I heard Wayne Bennett and the Players Association saying they're not really keen on it at the moment. What's that about?
Well, I think their issue is putting restrictions around player movement. I think they just don't want any more restrictions on player movement. That's purely their issue. And the other thing they say, it's interesting you've got Josh here, because one of the big issues at the moment is, you know, you've got clubs who get themselves either in cap problems or change coaches, and suddenly they want to reshape their squad, and players might have 2-3 years left in the deal. You're looking at Regan Campbell-Gillard or Wonga Blake, and they're getting moved or changing clubs. And I think that's a bigger issue for the players' union at the moment. They want less of that going on. The transfer window can potentially play into that down the track, really.
Yep, no, I think it's all a positive thing, Rudy. Well, I think that's the end for you, Rudy. I think you're done with us. You can go and what do you got on Saturday afternoon? You're going to one of the games?
You'll be strutting around the beach somewhere.
I'm actually at Clontarf Beach because it's my soccer team's breakup.
Oh, wow, that's going to get messy. We're going to end up at the boat shed later on tonight.
Could potentially, Gerge, it's a possibility.
Anyway, enjoy your afternoon, Rudy. Thanks for hanging around. We're going to take a break. After the break, we're coming back with one of your mates, Wendell, George Gruigan.
Oh, he's a good man,
he's
mate.
He's actually over in Eden Park, and we're going to chat about the Bledisloe tonight. So
beautiful.
Stay tuned. Triple M NRL. We'll be right back after this.
For Ream Hot Water, Triple M Footy. Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.